Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Draw Near to God Through His Word.
That's grace. As peace be with you today through Jesus Christ the Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about drawing near to God by the Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. By the preaching of it, by the hearing of it, by the reading of it, by the believing of it. Are you daily in your lives as Christians drawing close to God daily? By being in this Word, by this Word, God also drawing close to you? Or are you sort of, in a sense, neglecting the Word a bit in your life? Not at least running to it as much as you could. Truth be told, we can all get kind of slow and lazy with running to the Word. Amen? It happens to us all. But if we do, what starts to happen is we begin to drift, to depart, to get further away from God by the neglect of the Word. But what we're preaching about today and what God has sent me to encourage you for is draw near to me, my people, by my Word, by my Scriptures, by the Bible, by the hearing of it, the preaching of it, the believing of it, the reading of it, the meditating upon it, that I might be closer to you, and you closer to me, and I make you mighty in the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So let's talk today about how God would encourage us in that. First of all, I don't know, how important do you think this really is? Am I just shooting from the hip up here, and it's not really that important? Little important to be in this? A lot important. Not important at all? Or super big important? What's your answer? All right, I like that. Because you know what? You're agreeing with God if you say it's super big important. Let's see what God teaches us in the Bible about what he wants for his people with respect to this book. He says in Deuteronomy 6 with Moses, for example, this is his word and command to them in Old Testament days. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So does that sound like, well, occasionally, I'd like for you to be in my word when it's convenient for you. Is that what it says? Always put these words before you, my people, for these words are no trifle for you. They are your very life. What did God say to the kings of old in the Old Testament days in Deuteronomy 17? Listen to how he wanted it to be in their lives. He says, when a king sits on his throne in Israel, he shall write for himself a copy of the book of this law from which that which is in charge of the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him. And he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and statutes, doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left. So that's a pretty good word, isn't it? Don't just read it occasionally, O King. I want you to personally take the book and write your own copy by your own pen. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And read it daily and meditate upon it daily, that you may keep it daily and not turn to the right or to the left, but go straight ahead and stay close to me. So that's the Old Testament days. God was certainly big on people being in this word daily. He says, it is no trifle. It is your very life. How about you? Are you living this way? How about the New Testament? We hear the same kind of thing? You think? What do you think, Peggy, back there? Should we be in the Word? Is it big or little? Even bigger, if you will, in the New Testament days. Look at 2 Timothy 4. Paul tells Timothy, this is my command to you. Preach the Word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, when you see the picture of a preacher in the house of the interpreter, he is a man with a very serious look on his eyes, pleading with the world with a book in his hand, the world cast behind him, and helping people race towards heaven. This is the book we're to be in, preaching, reading, till I come attend to the public reading of Scripture, says Paul, to preaching, to teaching. Peter says, above all else, hold fast to the prophetic word, this word, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You know, the apostles were 100% supreme number one importance is get that word out there into the people. How about Jesus? Remember that story in Luke chapter 10, I think it is, where he's going along the road one day and he's invited to stay at the house of Martha and her sister Mary. And of course, you know the story. Jesus is sitting there, and who's sitting at his feet? Mary sat at his feet, listening to his preaching, listening to his word as he unfolded it to her. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she says, get my sister up. She's a big lazy bum. I'm doing all the work in the kitchen, and here she is just listening to your word. Get her up and make her help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but there's but one thing needful, one. Mary has chosen the good portion. I will not take it away from her. What's the one good portion, Roger? The word. The one thing most essential, needful for her faith and salvation is the word. I won't take that away from her. That's the one thing we need. If we would draw close to God, is this word. Without it, you die. With it, you live. Last week, if you recall, I preached on fasting. To draw close to God by not eating food. This week I'm preaching to you on drawing close to you, God, by eating sumptuously, feasting every day on this book, on the words of the living God to you. Because this is where your faith comes from, and that makes you strong, even saves you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you believe this? Is it big for you, super big, or just a little big? All right, I like it. Why do we need the word to be close to God? Well, we need talking in any relationship to be close, don't we? I mean, if you have a husband and wife, and let's see, you get home late at night and you have no conversation, are you going to get further away or closer to your spouse? Further away. A marriage that has no talking is distant, and if there are no words spoken really ever or received with delight, that's going to end in death, divorce of the relationship. But if the words are many, if the words are close, if they are full of love, and each person delights in and drinks each person's word, well, then that makes for a very amazing husband and wife, super close. So it is with us and God. We need to hear his words, and his words most of all, because his words are supreme. Consider the word of God. What do we have in this book? Is this just a book? Is this like Shakespeare? House of Green Gables? You know, I was an English major. Basically, all the books we read, they're dark, depressing, sicko novels, really, frankly. If you want to be famous in this world, write some sicko novel, and eventually, at the end of your life, kill yourself, and you'll be very well loved by English classes around the world. What we have in this book is altogether different. The words of the God who created the world. You have right here in this book to read. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood forth. The same God who wrote this book, which is in your hand, is the God who goes, stars, and into the sky they go. He creates all things. This is the word. It's so powerful, so super powerful. It'll conquer everything. By the word of God, he upholds the universe by his word of power, it says in Hebrews chapter 1. And where else are you going to find in the world a book so trustworthy and true? Everything else is a bunch of mishmash, hodgepodge of self-magazine crazy worldly advice that's never going to satisfy you. It's all over the place. This is our compass. It ever steers straight and sure. We read in the scriptures, the word of the Lord is upright. All his work is done in faithfulness. His promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Jesus says, sanctify my disciples in thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is where we get truth in this world. So it's a rock for you. Do you want a rock to stand on? What's the world like today? Hey, it's all up and down, all over the place. We don't know what's going on, hardly. The news is not trustworthy to you. But here is a rock. I stand here. It'll never change. I'm solid. It's also a light to us. For we read in Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The unfolding of thy words gives light. So what is this book ultimately? It's a rock on a great promontory over a frothing and stormy ocean, shining a light to the world. What's that sound like to you? A rock, a light, shining out. Come on. Lighthouse. Lighthouse. Thank you very much. That guides us as ships at sea, safe and sure on the path we should go. This is the word that shines the right way to go through life. God says, I will counsel you, instruct you, and teach you the way you should go. Counsel you with my eye upon you. Do you not know where you're going in life? By this word, by guarding it, according to this word, you will go straight and sure. This word also is great at correcting us, too. When we're going in the wrong way, the Holy Spirit brings these words to bear and says, wrong way, leading to destruction, he says. But then we hear, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. We hear in these words, return, faithless Israel, return. I won't look on you in anger, says the Lord. But I will take you, just acknowledge your guilt, and I will take you from a city and two from a family and bring you to Zion. I will direct you safe into the safe harbor and straight on the seas of this world to my kingdom. And when God brings us back, he wonderfully comforts us. Do you need comfort in your life? Especially in these crazy days? When I think of thy ordinances from of old, I take comfort, says the psalmist. This is my comfort in all my affliction, that your promise gives me life. This is where we find encouragements for our soul. The words of life that God loves you and he is on your side to save you in Jesus Christ. That he raises the poor from the dust and makes us sit with princes, the princes of his people. Here he encourages you with such strength, such vigor, such valiancy that you can stand against any giant and no giant's might can match your strength. You will strike it down. This is how David stood against Goliath, by the words of the book, of the words of the Lord to him. He says, I'll strike you down this day, Goliath, for with God I shall do valiantly. It is he who treads down my foes. Do you want to be like that? Or do you want to be some wimpy, mamsy-pamsy, weak-kneed Christian? If you would be strong and close to the Lord, in the book we go for strength. God strengthens us by it. He even saves you by this book. Because in this book is written the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Right? So the words, if we don't hear these book, the words of this book, we're destined for damnation. When we hear the words of the gospel in Jesus Christ, those words create faith in us, which then we believe in Christ, and we go to eternal life and the kingdom. How can we neglect a book so great as this? For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So faith comes from what's heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Who wants greater faith today? Then you're in the right place. You're at church. If I'm preaching to the choir, we have no choir here. They're skipping church today. There's no choir here. You are the church. You're in the right place to hear the preaching that your faith might grow strong and you become mightier than David himself to conquer every foe. And faith comes from what is heard. That's the fuel for it. And you know, it's by the words of this book that God, having saved you, keeps you saved to eternal life in his kingdom. For we need to hold fast the words of this book to the end. And we hear that we are like stars shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, holding fast the word of life. Is this what you look like? Holding this fast close to you? When you hold fast this book, it's God who by this book is holding you fast for his kingdom to the world to come, that you not depart from him, but draw ever closer, and he keeps you in Christ to shine brightly. So the word is a rock. It's a light. It's a lighthouse. It is the inerrant, infallible word of God, without error, fully trustworthy guide to the truth, our daily bread to eat and grow strong and to make us bright. And, da-da-da, it is the sword of the Spirit. A double two-edged sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word of God. Why do we need this book in our hands like a sword to fight through this world? Because what do you use a sword against? An enemy. We have an enemy that will do everything he can, fight tooth and nail. He's called a dragon who maliciously, malevolently seeks to rob and steal this book from your hand. And that's what the whole war of everything going on in the earth right now. Every conflict comes back down to this. Is this book in your hand or not? He'll do everything he can to tear this book out of your hands, to get you away from church, from true preaching, from the reading of the word, from the study of that, from the keeping it out of your heart. Remember the very first thing we see of the devil in the Bible. He said to Eve, did God really say that you should not eat of any fruit of the garden? Of course, he's British, right? But notice the very first thing, what does he do? Cast doubt on the word. Take it out of her hand. Steal the sword from her hand, which she had. If she but loosens her grip on it or sets it down, I've got her. I'm a great talker. I'll have her eating that fruit in no time. And she did, and she sinned, and she fell, and she and Adam were destroyed by it. We know. He's seeking the same thing with you and me. Daily, it's a battle that we're waging. We are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, says Paul, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's by the word. If we don't have it, we'll be struck down. If we have it, we strike our enemy down and keep as more than conquerors unto eternal life. But we need to be very wary, because the devil, as Luther says, is called a master of 1,000 arts. He's very crafty. How then shall we conquer him, says Luther, if we don't take up the word, which is a master of 10,000 arts by which we can slay him? How does the devil come to get against us to rob this word out of our hands as Christians, as his people? He comes, number one, as a flatterer. Is he a flatterer? Drop your sword, loosen your grip. You're a great Christian. You're doing marvelous. You are so strong. I'm afraid of you. So, yeah, you don't need to really go to church this week. Just go most weeks. It's okay. You don't need to take up the word of God today. You took it up yesterday. You're so strong in the word. Man, I'm so scared of you. Do it tomorrow. He's a flatterer. Has he done so with you to the point that you're loosening your grip on the sword of the Spirit, the word of God? Be very careful. He's crafty. When you are falling for his flattery, it's like you're falling asleep on a raft on the beach here on a sunny day and thinking so strong. And then you wake up hours later and it's nighttime. You're miles out at sea and a storm is brewing. And you say, how on earth did I get here? It's because we didn't hold fast the word and stay awake in it. He also comes to us as an entertainer. Does he done that with you? He's like Beelzebub and Pilgrim's Progress, the World Fair, Vanity Fair. He says, come by, eat of all my pleasures, the pleasures of this world. There's all kinds of things to enjoy. Go after your hobbies. Go after games. Go after fun. Go after your pleasures. Go after other things, even unsinful things. Yeah, don't go after the sinful ones. Just go after your profession, take rides, go to movies, watch videos, play video games, play on your phones. Keep doing it. Keep going. Enjoy yourself, says the entertainer. What happens? Pretty soon, it's pushed the room out of your life for the Word of God. You're always on your phone or whatever entertainment it is, and you've forgotten the Word, and all of a sudden, you've loosened your grip. This is what Leviathan, he's a great dragon, remember. He is a foul fiend who's bent on murder, says Jesus Christ. He wants to kill you. He wants to let have your grip be loose. Entertain you away from the Word. Beware the entertainer. And what he can't do by flattery or entertainment, he will come then as a raging lion. You know, what he can't take by seductions and flattery, he'll take by force. Have you seen it? Look at how our government, even in recent years, as well as those of the world, have said, you Christians shall not meet personally, and you shall not hear the preaching of the Word live. Oh, is that the devil taking the Word away from people? You shall not hear it for your faith. He is a lion. He's torn it out of schools. You can see his claw marks on the courthouses where he's taken it off the walls, the Ten Commandments. He rages against it and roars all over the world. He roars through Hollywood. He roars through his false preachers in churches. He roars through his demons saying, the Bible, this book, nah, it's full of errors. Oh, it's full of redactions, edits, corrections. It's misogynistic, it's prejudiced, it's all those other things. Yes, in a word, untrue. Did God really say, says the devil? And from all these, he seeks to wrest it out of our hands. Will you let him? Be sober, says Peter. Be watchful, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. How do you resist him firm in your faith? By holding fast the Word. And he runs. This is the one weapon that the devil is afraid of. The Word alone on the battlefield. Not the Word and your thoughts and theories and imaginations. He loves that. But Luther said he fears the Word alone on the battlefield. That will make the dragon run. So how can we take it up then when we've gotten dull about it? You know, we all can be very lazy. It's true. When your hot zeal has cooled, how do you rekindle it? Well, here's number one. Just do it. You've heard of Nike, right? Let's think of those. Just think of sneakers. Just get yourself into it by force. Say, I don't feel like getting into the Word today, but I'm going to get into it anyway. Because you know what? The more we're in this Word, it has a power to strengthen our appetite for the Word, that we want it more and more. And soon we're just delighting to drink of its rivers, of reservoirs of delights, and the nourishment of its strength. And you'll get stronger just by forcing yourself to get into it, even if you don't feel like it. It'll work on you. For faith comes from what is heard, remember. What is heard comes by the Word of Christ. So faith will increase. Secondly, don't just read the Word and go over things you already know. Meditate on it. We hear of the Scriptures, the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What's it mean to meditate on the Word? The word in the Hebrew is hagah, which one way you can say that is to chew the cud, like a cow. So am I looking at a congregation of sheep or cows? Okay. But what does a cow do? He eats the grass. It starts to digest. It goes into a stomach and then comes up again, and he starts eating it again, and it digests again. It comes up and it eats it. That's the way we're to be with the Word of God. Take it in. If you know a passage, what can I know more about this? Study it. Let it penetrate. Take it deep. Don't just pick the flowers on the surface. That's great too. Dig deep. There are diamonds in the Word. Find a passage or find some understanding, something you don't understand. Study that subject. That's been super blessing to me. When I don't know something, just dive into it. And through the study and the research of that topic, through the Word, my faith is like alive when I do it. And really the best thing of all, I would say, is memorize the Word. Can you memorize the Word? You know John 3:16 already, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that... You're so zealous. Wow. No, that was good. You know it, right? Say it with oomph, though. But you know what? You already know that verse. If you know one, can't you know two? It's not that hard to get a second one in there. Don't worry about it if you forget it tomorrow. Go after a new verse to memorize new every day. There's nothing, at least in my life, that has given me more strength, refreshment, and hope against adversaries and challenges than to memorize something new each day. It puts a miraculous power of light, strength, the sword of the Spirit, and gives you victory in the day. So go after that. You're armed for the teeth, ready for action when you memorize it, and the devil will begin to go, yikes, when he looks at you. And also, lastly, is don't just read this word for information. This is about relationship. Jesus said to the Jews, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it's they that bear witness to me. So when we read the Scriptures, these are bearing witness to Jesus. Luther said every page, if you tore it out, would bleed Jesus Christ. Go here to know the words of the one who loves you, who created you, who's redeemed you and saved you, Jesus Christ, that you grow in your relationship with Him. That's what we go to the Scriptures for. Because when Naomi was in Beth's womb, there in that dark place, she couldn't see my face. She could not see my form. All she could do was hear my word. In the same way, we can't see a form of God. We can't see His face yet. We will, but not yet. But we can hear His word. And that is for a relationship. When Naomi was born, as you know, I sang to her that song I sang in Beth's, when she was in Beth's womb, Inchworm. The first night she's born, and I sang it, and her little head turned and looked at me and said, there's the man. I know this man. I've never seen his face before. His form I've not known, but I know who he is, for I recognize his voice. In this world, we have his word, and we hear his voice, and by it, we draw close and have a better and better relationship until that day we see him face to face. So hear his word, and most especially his gospel, which alone, as Luther says, will turn a sad countenance into a cheerful one. For we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's us. But we are now justified by God's grace as a free gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, what he died for us and rose, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. If you want to have a good cheer in your heart today, we must be about the word and his grace. Hear and find the words of the gospel in the Scriptures, and that will turn your heart to good cheer that no adversary on earth can ever take from you. This I know, that God is for me, you will say, in God whose word I praise. I trust without a fear. What can man do to me? For God has delivered my soul from death, kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So draw close by the word, and as you do, God will run to and draw close to you and speak to you and love you. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Draw Near to God Through His Word. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ.